Today's scripture is Colossians 3:12-17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs for the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks be to God for the gift of the scripture.
I wonder if you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer before the sermon. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable to you. You, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer, and I pray that as people are gathered in their homes and in different places in the community and even in the world, that you would speak to each one. We're grateful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is never quarantined. It is with us at all times and all places, and you are the God who is among us. So we pray that the sermon would have meaning to everyone this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're in a sermon series where we're talking about questions people ask, and it's a question of a friend. You know, that's how we often pose these questions. I have a friend who wants to know, and often it is our friends who want to know because they're questioning why we live the way we do. One of those things that we hear is, why church? Why do you go to church? There are people who watch you get up on Sunday mornings. They may even wonder why you're doing this right now. Why are you gathering by yourself in a room and tuning into church? And why with your family? Why gather them up so that they're all together in one place and you're doing this together? Well, there are a lot of reasons. And undoubtedly, we've asked the question ourselves. If you've ever woken a child up and heard a child early on a Sunday morning say, why do I have to go to church? You know, because you're getting them out of a warm bed. But it's not just children. Sometimes as adults, we have encounters with church, some that are better than others. And every so often, we're asking ourselves that same question. Why church? You may have heard the story about the mother who went to wake her son on a Sunday morning, and she went in and realized he hadn't gotten out of bed, and she shook his shoulder, and she said, you know, it's time to get up and go to church. And he said, I'm not going. And she looked at him, she said, why not? And he said, I'll give you two reasons. They don't like me, and I don't like them. And she looked down at him and she said, and I'm going to give you two reasons you need to go to church. And he looked up and said, what? And she said, first, you're 59 years old. And second, you're the pastor. Come on, that's funny. No matter where you are, that's funny. Church can be like that too, right? We have moments where we're thinking, church is kind of irritating, or something that happened is a little bit irritating. Well, I want you to think with me today about why you go to church, because I think beyond the getting out of bed on Sunday, beyond the questions of those moments that aren't great, I think there's so much goodness in church. I've been going to church my whole life, and I want to tell you three reasons why I go to church. The first is community. Community. Many of us have a severe lack of community in our lives right now. Especially if you're single, you're spending a lot of time alone. Maybe it's a married couple or two roommates that share an apartment. But even in that situation, you've got a little bit of community, but you don't have a lot. And I don't know about you, but I'm doing a lot of phone call, a lot of Zoom meetings right now. And I was in one of these meetings this past week, and I just looked at the screen, and I thought, we have all become very one-dimensional right now. I mean, it's great. If this pandemic had happened 30 years ago, we would really be isolated. So I am so grateful for all the technology just like this that helps us connect. But it's still not quite enough, is it? Still not quite enough. And that's because we like in-person community. We like face-to-face. We like the ability to to shake someone's hand or hug someone, and all the things we're being told we can't really do right now. Now, the converse of this is also true. Where you're finding community, aren't you amazed at the abundance of it? So right now in my neighborhood, people are taking walks. I bet that's happening where you live too. You go out, everybody's taking a walk. And when people are taking a walk now, honestly, I'm looking around my neighborhood, I'm like, where did all these people come from? I never even knew they were all here. I mean, I knew all the houses were there, but turns out the houses all had people, and the people aren't just in cars going past you on their way to work or the way to school. They're real people. And when you see them walking down the street, aren't they friendly? I feel like I'm living back in the Shenandoah Valley again, where people are like waving, and we're introducing our dogs to each other. I mean, like they're royalty, like, this is my dog, Mudge, you know, and we're all talking and sharing across the street, and we're waving. What's that about? People want community. It's how we're made. God's put in us this desire to be connected to other people and to know them and to know about them. And so one of the reasons I go to church is I really want that community, and I want a community that looks as much like heaven as it can. What do I mean by that? I want community where everybody's a little different, you know, where it's not, where we all don't look the same, talk the same, act the same way, vote the same way. I when we get to heaven, friends, you know, not everybody's going to be exactly like me or exactly like you. Everybody's going to be different, but you know what? We're going to find our unity in Christ. We're going to find our unity in the love of God. And I don't know what that's going to be like, but I've been so happy at Floris over the years how the more diverse it becomes, the more interesting it becomes, the more interesting people I meet and I learn from, and I learn where they're from and where they've been and what they think about certain things. And so that community, that means a lot to me. And sometimes in church, you run into some people that are different, right? And you may even talk to a friend and say, wow, that person, they're a little different. And then, you know, you look back at your friend and you say, well, yeah, they're a little different, but they're our different. They're in our community. They're in our church. So we're going to love them, and we're going to take care of them, and we're going to have forbearance with one another. And he's a little different, and she's a little different, but they're ours. And so I just really love it that the church, the crazy church, just has all these people and families and groups of people that all get to intermingle and intertwine. And I have to tell you something, standing in a mostly empty sanctuary today, the thing I miss most is the community on Sunday morning. And I'm so glad you're joining by live stream. I'm so glad you've got this discipline in your life because it connects us some. But isn't it going to be great when we get back together again and we see each other again? I'm not sure how that's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And when it does, I'm going to be so grateful for it. Now, the other thing, and the reason that you're here this morning, even though you can't have that three-dimensional community today, you're here in part because we're trying to cultivate. So community, second word, cultivation. We're trying to cultivate certain things in our lives. And you heard Lizzie Heyer read the scripture this morning, and she said, therefore, this is from Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. And kids, this is that children's sermon. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if anyone has a grievance, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, so you shall forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love. Now, I think about that cultivation almost like my little garden at home. My garden at home is no bigger than this screen behind me, this canvas behind me. And I think about what I put into our box garden, and just recently we put seeds in there, and those seeds are all planted, and most of those seeds are going to grow. Now, let me just tell you something about the box garden. Some things I plant won't grow. Those seeds won't germinate. Most will, some won't. But I want to make you a promise. Any seed I did not plant will not grow. Does that make sense? So why do I go to church? because I'm putting things into my personal life. I want to cultivate them. I want these words. I want humility and gentleness, kindness, patience, compassion. I want those qualities sown in me, but I need God's help to make them germinate and make them spring up. Now, I may not get all these perfectly, but I can guarantee you one thing. If I stop going to church and if I stop being reminded, the things I don't plant will never grow. And many people say, oh, everybody's so good. I'm a good person. You're a good person. I think there's goodness in everybody because we're all created in God's image. But can we be honest? The list behind me. If I ask a family member or a friend, if I said, hey, does that list behind me fully describe what's growing in their life and bearing fruit in their life? Would they say, hey, everything there is in your life and in my life? Or would they say, well, you know, he's compassionate, but sometimes not that patient. See, some of those things behind me, those words behind me that Paul lists in Colossians, those are for you what we would call aspirational goals. Have you heard that phrase before? An aspirational goal. You know what an aspirational goal is? It's the thing that somebody's telling you you definitely need to do, but they're not sure if you can do, but by all means, please do it, right? So your family is probably right now looking at that list and they're thinking, wow, do I wish she had more gentleness? Wow, do I wish he had more forgiveness? Why do I go to church? It helps me to read the scripture and to sit with a group of people who have all made a common commitment. We're trying to cultivate this stuff in our life. And I'll tell you, in my life, I have this little guy that comes out sometimes. I call him Mean Tom. And sometimes I can be unkind. And when I'm feeling unkind, I can just feel Mean Tom just starting to rise up. I don't even know where Mean Tom comes from. But he's like coming outside, and there he is, and the unkindness is showing up. A sister in Christ, I might see a sister in Christ at church, and if I'm being unkind, I can just tell she's thinking, that is not a good look for you. That is not going well at all. And so the Christian community helps me just push that stuff out. It's almost like they're the weeds of my garden. But then, oh, there comes Mean Tom again. I'm not being forgiving, and I need to be forgiving, and out it comes, you know. And when it comes out, I've got my small group, my life group, and those guys look at me, and they're like, whew, hey, you got to work on that one, brother. Like, you really have to do something about that. You know, it's funny. When Mean Tom starts coming out at odd times and odd places, just knowing the church is here helps it go away. And I pluck it out and I throw it out, just like I have to weed my garden. What comes out in you? What are the things that you wish you weren't? And can I ask you a question? Do you find church to be as helpful as I do? I'll be honest. When I drive up into the parking lot and just look at the building, the church isn't the building. Church is the people. But when I look at the building, when I enter the sanctuary as you do on a Sunday or any other day of the week, when I meet with my Christian friends, when I get an email or a text message from one of you, it calls something good out of me and it plants something good in me. And that's the second reason I go to church. Community, cultivation. But there's another word, because you know I've got another C, right? And the third word is commitment. The third word is commitment. Church helps me remember what I'm committed to. You know, commitment's not that easy. I don't know about you, but I can get fired up about something for about 10 minutes, and then, you know, the next day I wake up, and maybe I'm just not as committed to as I used to be. So the community of the church, the cultivation of the scripture in my life, the work of the Holy Spirit in those environments, it helps me keep my commitments. So right now during this COVID crisis, back in January, I said, we choose to be a vital Christ-centered church for all people in our community. We said, that's a vision statement that we're going to be working on in the coming year. And then this pandemic hit and we no longer commit to, we can't be in worship the way we were. But think about that vision. We choose to be a vital Christ-centered church for all people in our community. Friends, that sentence is driving our commitment to make sure that there's no, that well, that there's as little food scarcity in our community as there can be. That's why we're taking all this work. And I wish you could see our fellowship hall right now and the whole hallway out in front of the sanctuary. It's all about food collection, food sorting, and food distribution. That's what you're doing. Why? Because we choose to be a vital Christ-centered church for all people in our community. And see, we're living out that vision right now. That's our commitment. Frankly, if I wasn't a part of a church, I might just think this is about me and my family and how many rolls of toilet paper we have in the shelf at any given day. That would become my biggest thing, right? And all that's important. All the personal things in our lives are important. But there's something about being in a community that cultivates the ways of Christ in us so that we can then be committed to being a blessing in the community. Many of you are going to make these neighborhood boxes, whether you've got children or not. And you're just going to send some emails and things to your neighbors, and you're going to call something good out of your neighbor. And frankly, some of your neighbors want to do good, and they don't know how to do good. Well, you can help them do good well, just with a simple invitation. And you can drop that off here at the church. And it's not that we're doing this that we're the most or the best. We're doing it because we're committed to the ways of Christ. My goodness, the generosity of that COVID-19 fund, it's just remarkable. And that's going to pay rent for people. And one of the commitments we have at this time is this Matthew 25 commitment. You remember when Jesus talked about the end of time, how we'll all come before the king, and then the king will sort people out like goats and sheep. In the scripture that Matthew recorded, these are the words of Jesus. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom is prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I said to you, whenever you did it for the one, the least of these, my little ones, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me." This past week, we received word that there was a domestic abuse situation. And there was somebody who needed to get out of a house with a child. And you paid rent. You helped not just one person get to safety and the child get to safety. You helped somebody else not do something they're going to regret later. This is going to end up being one of our finest hours of the church. This is going to end up being the time that you remember years from now that you tell your grandchildren about. Yeah, there was a pandemic and we got shut down and we were all worried about the economy and we were all worried about everything. But we didn't sit home in fear. We did things that blessed other people and we figured it out and we were safe. We followed all the guidelines the government was giving us. But we still figured it out how to care for people in our community. We called one another. We checked in on one another. We showed up for prayer groups and small groups through Zoom and other forms of technology. It's going to be something you look back on later and you said, "Wow, we're really the church." Because you know what? You can't tear the church down no matter what happens. Because the church is about people. It's about you. It's about me. It's about what we're cultivating in our lives. Hey, I miss you. I really miss seeing you face to face. But by golly, I am so glad you're the church out there. We still have community. We still cultivate the ways of Christ in us. And I just want to remind you today about our commitments. Let's keep living those out day in and day out.